I've made it a point throughout my ministry to not use my family for sermon illustrations. I don't tell cute stories about my wife or my kids. I could, but that would clearly make them uncomfortable as they're sitting here listening. But the same rule does not apply to our dog, Blaze. I've told you about Blaze before. He's our little cockapoo. Blaze is nearly 10 years old now, and his light tan fur is starting to turn gray. He still acts like a puppy, but sometimes he'll hurt himself if he runs too fast or jumps too high, and his little voice will go hoarse if he barks too much, which is kind of funny sometimes. And as they say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and so we've given up trying to teach Blaze anything that would be, useful. But when he was younger, we taught him lots of things. We taught him, for instance, the difference between inside and outside, which is very important for a dog to know, right? We taught him to come when we call. We taught him to stay off the couch, which he still does faithfully until the very moment we all walk out the door. And if you could see in our living room, I guarantee you he's on the couch right now. But dogs, we've learned, respond well to positive reinforcement. And so when we wanted to teach him a lesson, we would offer him a little treat or a scratch under the chin, and he would learn that if he behaved well, he would be treated well. Now, I hope that none of you are offended if I say that people also respond to positive reinforcement. In fact, I think this is a biblical truth. We learn how to be good by how it makes us feel and by how other people respond when we're kind to them or when we're generous toward them. We learn how to love by being loved. It's something that God created in us, this longing to be loved, this longing to be treated well, a longing to respond to the good things that God gives us. It's why God reaches out to us, why he invites us to be in a relationship with himself. God comes to us with grace and with mercy and with blessing, and that's how we know we can draw near to him. God teaches us how to love him by first loving us. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about worship, about how we praise God, how we bring our worship to God to show him what we feel about him. But that begins with God first coming to us and showing us that he loves us. And so that's where we're going to begin today, reading a beautiful little psalm that is about how God pours out into our lives his grace and his blessing, and then how we respond to God with our worship in our praise. This is Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the people with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Isn't that a beautiful image of our relationship with God, of how he blesses us, how he provides good things, the land yields its harvest, all the nations see the goodness of God, and in response, we praise God. This is a picture of how it's supposed to be. This is a picture of how God intended his relationship, not just with us who know him, but with everyone on the face of the earth. This is how God wants to be known by people and how he makes himself known to us. This is how it's supposed to be. Psalm 67 paints this beautiful picture. God calls his people into a cycle, a never-ending cycle of blessing and praise, and blessing and praise, and around it's supposed to go. The first two verses of this psalm tell us about how God blesses us. And then verses 3-5 talk about how we praise God in response. And then the last two verses of the psalm again return to God's blessing. And so it's this cycle, blessing and praise and blessing and praise. And that's how our relationship with God is supposed to go. Verse 1 you may recognize. Several weeks ago I preached on Numbers chapter 6, the priestly blessing, right? The blessing that the priests would declare over the people of Israel. And it begins with, "May the Lord be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine on us." And the priests would bless the people of Israel, inviting them to come and receive God's blessing. And it's really a prayer of blessing. It's inviting God to bring good things into the lives of his people. And that's how this cycle begins. God blesses us. And then we respond with praise. Did you know that God blessed people before they could even praise him? Before people even knew his name, before anyone ever thought to worship God, God was already providing for us. You think about Adam and Eve in the garden. And God gave them this wonderful place to live, filled with food, filled with safety, filled with everything they would ever need, so that they would have a place to know God and to live with him and to love him. And then as you read through Scripture, all throughout the Old Testament into the New, it's always God who initiates the relationship. God comes to Moses, the burning bush. Even before that, God spoke to Abraham. Before Abraham even knew God's name, before anyone knew to call God the Lord, God appeared and called his people into relationship. You see, God always begins a relationship with people by blessing us, by showing us his goodness. And then in response, we praise him. Verse 3, may the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Praise and worship is our response to the goodness of God. Do you think about that when you come in here to worship? Why are you here today? What has inspired you to worship God? As you begin to worship, whatever songs we're singing, the prayers that we're lifting up, do you think about the goodness of God? Do you think about all that he has given you, the blessings of your life? No one here leads a perfect life, but all the ways that God has provided for you. A little bit of an odd example here. I think we all struggle in remembering God's blessings. And I should confess that I have sort of a mental deficiency when it comes to Christmas and birthday gifts. And maybe some of you share this particular weakness that I have. That is that I can never remember who gave me what. Right? Some of you probably don't have this issue. You could go home right now and open up your closet, look at your clothes, or walk around your room, and you could think back 15, 20, 30 years, who gave you what gift and when it was given to you, on what occasion, even the color of wrapping paper that you tore off to open that gift. Whereas I can't remember if I look in my closet what was a gift or what I bought for myself at Sam's Club. I have this deficiency. My guess is that most of the men in the room have my condition. Most of the women in the room are just the opposite. You can remember all the details. I won't generalize, though, to say that. But I do think that most of us struggle with this particular ailment when it comes to God's blessings in our lives. That we either forget what God has done for us, Or maybe even we don't notice as he's providing the blessing that we receive. And we don't realize that it's been given to us by God. And so we forget that without God's amazing love, without his grace in our lives, all of us would be lost and weak and empty inside. Because we take for granted what he's given us. We take for granted his goodness. But you see, in his grace, God pours out rich blessings. And we should respond with thanksgiving and praise. And then as we respond with thanksgiving and praise, the cycle can repeat. More blessing and more praise and more blessing and praise. Now there's something else amazing in this little psalm that I don't want you to miss. And maybe you did miss it the first time, and I don't blame you if you did. But Jesus is in these words. His name's not there. That's why you might have missed it. But Jesus is right there in this psalm. This psalm was written, I would imagine, about 1,000 years before Jesus. We don't know who wrote it. Could have been David. Could have been someone who lived after David. But we'll say several hundred years before Jesus, these words were written. But these words point to a particular fulfillment of a particular promise that God made. In fact, it was the most important promise that God ever made. That he would send salvation to all people and all nations. It's a promise that he first made to Abraham. And this psalm is not just about God's people that we like to talk about in the church, people of faith, good Christians, but this psalm is about people of all nations. All peoples who are called to praise God. And so here's the amazing promise of the psalm, that through Jesus, the world, the whole world, receives God's blessing and can offer him praise. Through Jesus, the whole world is blessed. And the whole world can join in praising. In fact, it says that God blesses all nations. It says God blesses all peoples, the whole earth. God offers grace to everyone. And you say, well, why does God bless everyone? Why does God bless even those who don't yet know his name or refuse to acknowledge him? Well, verse 2 tells us the reason. So that your ways may be known on earth. And your salvation among all nations. That is why God is good to everyone in this world. You see, Jesus died for the sins of our world. And he offers new life to all those who have put their trust in him. And Jesus sends his followers, that's us, he sends us out to tell that good news, to declare his salvation everywhere we go. And what Jesus did for us was the fulfillment of a promise that God made to Abraham 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years before Jesus was on the earth. And we can read this promise in Genesis chapter 12. What God said to Abraham is that through one of his distant descendants, God would fulfill the great promise that all people would be blessed. Not just Abraham's children. Not just people in the church, but all people would be blessed. And Jesus fulfilled that promise when he died and rose again. The whole world is now offered grace and salvation. And so the result of that, in Psalm 67, may all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. God's blessing goes out into the whole world. People who don't yet know Jesus one day may come to praise him when they hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. And they will join us in this cycle of God's blessing and our praise and God's blessing again. And this cycle of blessing and praise finds its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus, who died for our sins, who offers us new life, who offers us the promise of eternity with God. And as we receive that new life, which many of us, I hope all of us, have received that promise. And we have said yes to Jesus and we praise Him. We have reason to praise Him because we know of the good news of Jesus and the salvation that we have received. But we also know that there are others who one day will receive that good news. And when they do, they will join us in praising God. And that is the wonderful promise of God's Word. Now, all of this raises another important question that we need to deal with. And it's not really here in the psalm, but I think we know it's true. Especially in our own lives and our culture as we look around the world today. And that is that sometimes we break the cycle of blessing and praise. God doesn't break it. But sometimes we do. What happens if we stop praising God? If blessing leads to praise and that praise leads to more blessing and around the cycle is supposed to go, well, what if we forget to praise? What if we forget to worship God or give thanks for the things that He's done for us? Or even worse, what if we give our praise to someone other than God? Forgetting who gave me a shirt as a Christmas present is kind of rude, I guess, but it's not really that big a deal. But forgetting that God sent His own Son to die for us? Failing to remember that God has offered us eternal life? Taking for granted God's gracious gifts of family and food and shelter and all the daily blessings that we receive, ignoring all the multitude of ways that God provides for us, that's a big deal. That's a serious problem that we can have and certainly that our culture has. In many ways, and I think we all know this is true, that's where our culture is today. We have, as a nation, as a society, it's probably not just our nation, it's probably true all around the world, people have forgotten. People have stopped praising God for His blessings. There was a time, not that we want to romanticize the past, it wasn't perfect back then either, but there was a time that as a nation, we recognized God's grace. When people in our nation would, or at least could, openly praise God for the good things that He gave us. You might remember, not that you were alive then, but you've read about it in history books, when President Abraham Lincoln formalized the national observance of Thanksgiving, which, by the way, is just a couple months away now. We're headed into fall. Thanksgiving is coming. So when Lincoln made Thanksgiving what we now call a national holiday, a holy day, a day set apart to give thanks to God, Lincoln issued a proclamation. And in the midst of this proclamation, which, by the way, he sent out, he proclaimed during the Civil War. And imagine the turmoil. We think it's bad today. Imagine the turmoil of a nation being torn apart, literally killing one another. And yet Lincoln in his proclamation enumerated the many blessings that God, even during a time like that, was bestowing on the nation. And then he wrote this, "They, the blessings of God, are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people." Times have changed. Now our culture considers even a passing mention of God inappropriate or even offensive. How dare you speak the name of God, or even worse, the name of Jesus, in the public square? How dare we say that any of the good things that come into our lives have been given to us by God. Despite the many blessings that we still enjoy. Long ago, the Israelites made this same mistake. We're not alone. There's nothing new under the sun. The Israelites made this same mistake. You remember when Moses led the Israelites, actually God led the Israelites under Moses' command, out of Egypt, out of slavery, and to Mount Sinai, and then Moses goes up and he's receiving the Ten Commandments and the law, and Moses is up on the mountain. And what did the Israelites do when they grew tired of waiting? It had only been a few days, but they grew tired of waiting for Moses. They built a golden calf because they wanted someone or something that they could worship, something other than the true God. And they declared that that idol that they had just made with their own hands, by the way, was in fact the thing that had rescued them from Egypt. This story is retold in Psalm 106, and it's retold as a reminder, don't be this foolish again, people. Listen to what it says about that particular incident. At Horeb, that is another name for Sinai, they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, awesome deeds by the Red Sea. So he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them. It should remind us of our day. God is not pleased when we withhold worship from Him. In fact, Scripture says that He is a jealous God. We think of jealousy being a bad thing. It is for us, but God is jealous when we don't worship Him, or even worse, when we worship someone or something that is not Him. And when we do, it breaks this cycle of blessing. God is gracious, God is patient and merciful, but at some point, and this is the point, at some point we should expect the blessings to stop. As followers of Jesus, as people who know the truth, our responsibility is to do what Moses did, and that is to stand in the breach. To stand between God and our people. We may not want to claim some of them, but they are our people. To pray for them, to ask for God's mercy. And also to keep praising God. Because we know that He deserves it. To lift up His name. Here in the church, of course, that's easy. But also everywhere we go. To be courageous enough to give praise to God, even in public, in front of your friends, in front of your family, in your place of business, in your school, in the community where you spend your time. To let the world know that we know where our blessings come from. That we know it's God who blesses us. And we also know that it's God who blesses other people, even if they don't see it yet. To bring praise to the name of Jesus. And so we let the world know about God's blessing. That is our calling as His people. We pause every day, to give praise and thanks for all that God has done for us, for all that Jesus has accomplished for us. And so we pray on the one hand, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine on us. But then we also join in, may the peoples praise You, God. May all the peoples praise You. Let's bow our heads. Father, we give You thanks today for all the many blessings You bring us. Lord, we know You're gracious, You are generous, you are loving. You do far more for us than we deserve. And so, Lord, in response, we worship you, we praise you, we lift up your name, we sing songs, we lift up prayers, we bow before you, even in moments of silence, Lord. And yes, Lord, we desire to declare your name also in public. To tell our friends, to tell the people we know that it's because of Jesus that we have new life. It's because of your holiness and your power that we receive good things. And so, Father, we stand before you on behalf of our nation, our culture, our society, and we ask for your continued blessing, but we also ask for your forgiveness. We ask that you would raise up more and more people to join us in worshiping you. Lord, we love you, and we declare today that it's because of your goodness that our lives are good and blessed. And we praise you today in the name of Jesus.